Well, welcome everybody to the Sunday edition of the True Billy Workers Party. I am taking the reins from a reluctant Terrence Ray today.
Dude, I needed a day to not do shit. I got a hammock set up outside, and I've been reading like 19th century Victorian novels.
Interesting choice in these times. But go ahead.
The opposite of that. I've been playing Mario, the OG Lost World on a Super Nintendo.
Oh shit! So. I've been playing that too with my girlfriend, actually, man.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing all day with my girlfriend.
Which one? Super Mario?
No, we just switched. We've been playing Super Mario World, but we just switched to this game I had with like the Lost Worlds on it.
Yeah.
And it's just all this older, weird Mario shit.
The voice you're hearing is, of course, Miss Tanya B. Turner. And joining us this weekend is the inimitable Posadas Trap God himself, Mr. Aaron Thorpe, beaming in live from ATLENTA.
Hell yeah. What's up, y'all? Thanks for having me.
Hey.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for doing it. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, so glad to have you on.
And today, among other topics, we're going to be talking about the blue flu. I want to talk a little bit about Killer Mike's. You get your take on Killer Mike's statements when this was all kicking off. But to kick it off right from the top, since we're talking about Atlanta, what's your stance on the Claremont Lounge?
Eh? Man, I've never been there before, dude, but I've heard some serious shit pops off after hours. So I'm hoping my first place I want to go once shit opens back up is to check the Claremont out.
Bro, let me tell you something. I had the best night of my life in the Claremont.
Yeah, when'd you go? How long ago?
Well, we were on tour last summer. We did two shows in Atlanta. I think it was the night before Tanya got there, actually.
Yeah.
But so we were doing this big show at the Drunken Unicorn, and we probably had like 400 people show up, I guess. Pretty good size show for us. And I took a Xanax before I went on stage because I can't really speak in front of anybody without doing that.
Paralyzing anxiety.
Paralyzing. But it did. But the thing is, it didn't work. It didn't work. So I'm up there. Terrence is keeping it cool, but I'm having a panic attack the whole time, but I'm bluffing my way through it. Everything goes fine. And the shit still wasn't kicking in through the rest of the show. But as soon as we got to the Claremont, that bitch kicked in. I was unencumbered.
The night. You got that little incubation period when you needed it, when you actually needed it, you know?
That's right.
With Tom,
that's right. It turned out great.
No, with Tom, it's literally threading a needle. I mean, it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that Xanax just looking for just a way in there.
Man is very high maintenance. We tour with a sex wedge in the trunk.
It's not a sex wedge, Aaron. I suffer from acid reflux disease, and Tanya trivializes my condition.
Quite the slipper, right?
It was funny though. We had to plop that in, and everyone said,
"I know." People, we were just crashing on couches, and people were like, "Well, okay, you brought a half a bed with you." All right.
Aaron, man, thanks so much for being with us today here. I guess to kick it off, I think I want to start. We'll start from like the latest thing that's happened with obviously the Rashard Brooks getting murdered in the Wendy's parking lot and kind of work our way backwards. So, like, the last thing I saw about that was that, like, basically through some combination of, I guess, liberals would call it, try to think of it as bearing witness and like all this kind of stuff, like, you know, want to take all these scenes. But I guess they ended up dry snitching on Rashard's girlfriend,
White,
right?
Yeah.
So let's give us kind of a little update about where all that is.
Yeah,
stands.
So she, in the video, the camera that was recorded on the cop cam, he said that Rashard said that he was just going to Wendy's to pick up some food. His girlfriend, Natalie White, could vouch for him. She was right around the corner. And when video surfaced of this so-called, like, outside agitator, white anarchist, right, the trope that they're using, trying to light with a fucking lighter, right? If you see the video, like, she's using a lighter. It's not like a Molotov cocktail through the window of the Wendy's, right? But apparently she was caught on some surveillance camera at a convenience store, and the Atlanta Fire Rescue, they put out a tweet basically, you know, putting a hit out on her, you know? And it's the thing that really infuriates me, man, is that this question of, like, property damage, you know, is just completely ridiculous. Like, it makes me think of a tweet from Leslie Lee III from Struggle Session, where he was like, yo, all that Wendy's fucking did was give people low-paying jobs and cheap, shitty food, you know? But overall, it's kind of, these are the people who get just kind of swept up, right? It's not enough to just kill Rashad Brooks, but you have to go after his girlfriend. It's the same thing with Eric Garner and his daughter, right? I mean, it's like these reverberations, it affects, like, you know, the friends and family of you know, the victim. So I'm just infuriated that, and we'll talk about this too, that cops would walk off, you know, because the two cops were indicted, and the next day they got a $500 bonus equaling $2 million from the fucking Atlanta Police Foundation, dude, to boost so-called morale. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
The day after,
literally the day
his
after.
Death?
No, not the day after his death. The day after officers walked off the job. And the APD won't say how many cops walked off the job. There's a tweet where, like, we have reports that are unconfirmed that officers are walking off from each zone. But, I mean, it was a lot. You know, a lot of cops walked off. And to think that these fucking entitled fucks, man. You know,
bye, bitch.
Yeah, dude, like, fuck you. We don't fucking need you. Bye. You know? That's as far as I know. That's what's been happening so far with that.
But the very next day, it didn't even take 24 hours. They ponied up $2
million. Yeah, $2 million from this what's called the Atlanta Police Foundation, in order to boost morale. I have a quote here that I thought was really interesting, man, from the article. This guy said he is the interim chief, police chief. He said, some are angry. Some are fearful. Some are confused on what we do in this space. Mind you, he's talking about the fucking cops.
Well, for a second, I thought he was talking about some sort of organizing.
Yeah, right.
We're not being intentional enough about how we show up in this space.
No, it's not enough to shoot a motherfucker and be able to get away with it. You know what I mean? He said some may feel abandoned, but we are there to assure them that they will continue to move forward and get through this. And it's like, and then he says, at some point people get tired. I recognize that, and physically exhausted. I'm like, who the fuck are you talking about? Are you talking about, like, you know, the victims of police brutality? You're talking about black people in Atlanta? Or are you fucking talking about, like, this idea that blue lives matter, too? Like, motherfucker, I was born black, right? You can take off your badge. You can take off your uniform or your gun. Like, it's just infuriating, man. The sense of entitlement, the straight up just cynicism.
I saw, you know, something. So, you know, and I guess we'll probably talk about this, but I guess the mayor, Atlanta mayor, is it Keisha Lance?
Her last name is Bottoms.
she said, and the thing about this walk-off that I found so fascinating was, like, it was effective in the way that they wanted it to be, because it immediately took attention off of the issue at hand, police brutality, and it immediately turned it into police what was the morale?
Yeah.
So Bottom said, the thing that I'm most concerned about is how we repair the morale in our police department, not how we
that's her
stop
most
the,
biggest concern.
Yeah, not how we. And this is someone who is now being touted as, like, one of Biden's
a black woman, yeah. Yo.
Yeah,
I mean, I think, like, what I found hilarious about that is that, you know, if all right, let's say that we do actually try to hold these, like, cops accountable, right? Like, there actually is, like, widespread support and sentiment among the black community. My mom, for example, has completely made a 180, right? Like, I was out protesting one day, and she was like, sent me this text, like, saying that your views have always been radical to me, but I see now what you've been talking about. And I mean, she's a good black Democrat, but she has socially conservative views, like most are older black folk. But in Atlanta, it's like the black political elite, right? I mean, all across the country, right? But especially in Atlanta, the city too busy to hate, it's the black political elite and the alliances that they've made with law enforcement and businesses that undermines like black people, you know? And it's I mean, Kamala Harris, we can talk about fucking Kamala Harris all fucking day about that too, but it's just, it's so like disappointing to see that shit from a member of your own community. You know what I mean? It's reconciling that is really difficult.
And are you saying that she's a VP, possible VP pick?
Possibly might be a VP pick. I mean,
Keisha's
name is thrown out there.
Yeah. Keisha Lance Bottoms.
Yeah, up there with. So go ahead,
did she used to be a cop or something?
No. She, as far as I know, she was. I think she was. I have to double check, but she was in the former mayor's cabinet. And as far as I mean, honestly, I'm not really sure about her background, but I'm pretty sure it's like, you know, prestigious Ivy League, like, you know, HBCU, like working with, you know, business communities, probably got, you know, some sort of like local position, and she just moved her way up. But and a lot of people, when that election, you know, when that mayoral election happened, we actually had a candidate, Vincent Fort, who was endorsed by Bernie. He's a state senator. And I mean, he didn't. You know, he didn't get anywhere close, but it was between Keisha Lance Bottoms and Mary Norwood. You know, like this, she wouldn't say she was a Republican, but she was a fucking Republican, you know? because like, she knows she needs the black vote in Atlanta. So it was, of course, this is with electoralism where it's like, you know, you're either picking the guy who fucking fucks babies or eats them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
For example, you know, so,
America.
Yeah, man. I don't even know where the fuck she came from, to be honest, man. I don't even know.
According to her Wikipedia, she's the only mayor in Atlanta's history to have served in all three branches of government, serving as a judge and city council member before being sworn in as mayor.
God damn.
So,
well.
Judge.
Well, it's interesting what you brought up a second ago, Aaron, because, like, the thing that she... And maybe you had, maybe y'all were going to talk about this, so I apologize if I'm getting ahead. But like the she sort of like went out and scolded protesters. She was like, she said, "This is not a protest. This is chaos. The protest has purpose. Go home." And the sort of like the woke line that she's taken is that like the majority of businesses in Atlanta are owned by you know, POC. Mm-hmm. And so she's saying, like, that's why the protest. And I think that's probably maybe the genesis of this, like, narrative that, like, a white anarchist outsider burned down the Wendy's.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly helped it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. But even the curfew, right? Like, they lifted the curfew the night they lifted the curfew the day after 2,000 people, like, turned out in protest where there were so many bodies the cops couldn't enforce the curfew, right? They weren't able to do it. So it reminds me of also what Cuomo said. He was talking, I think, some law enforcement association giving a speech, and he's like, "You guys can go home now. You've, like, you know, aroused the sentiment, like the consciousness of the nation. Like, we're good." And I'm like, yo, translation is you're shitting out of your doo-doo ass because you realize that so many fucking people increased the fever pitch where you can no longer ignore it. And the only thing that you can do and the only power that they have is a media narrative of discouraging people from turning out, right?
Yeah. The classic, thanks for coming by, y'all.
Yeah.
It's been good.
We see you.
See
you, we hear you.
We got you. We got you. Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
I think there was also one thing that I thought, because there's a lot of nuance when we talk about, like, black politics in the South, and I thought this was funny as hell. There were actors and models, black actors and models from the Atlanta entertainment industry who were LARPing as Black Panthers in the...
Oh. Is that what that shit
was?
Is that
what that was?
Yeah, well, you saw a girl that was like locked arms. She had like the AK on her.
I never saw what the fuck was going on with that.
Like,
please explain. Right, oh my god, my head's gonna explode.
We should include this like in the show notes, man. Because like I can send y'all a link because this shit is hilarious. Like, pretty much they claim that they've been involved in the movement.
Oh my god.
Since you know, since 2014, right? Even before that, they claim, right? Trayvon Martin. And what I think is hilarious about that is that they use the term. I'm going to grab this quote. They use the name, when it was originally reported by Decaturish.com, they call them the new Black Panther Party. Right? So that was later corrected to the Black
Panther. But there is a new Black Panther Party.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking, because like there's like the Neo version of like that whole caucus. There's like the Young Patriots, Black Panthers, and the Puerto Rican.
The young lords, yeah.
Young Lords and all that. Like all those groups are like popping back up again. But I didn't know they were just like cosplaying.
Check this though, right? The name is officially the Black Panthers Revolutionaries Atlanta Chapter. And the girl that was like locked in the car and photo locking arms with this cop, she says, "We did introduce ourselves as," and this is italicizing the article, "the newest Black Panther Party." Dude, it's just like, I mean, and that's where like, I mean, this is a bit personal, but I had beef with a friend recently. I'm not going to name any names to get myself in any more hot water, but I had a friend recently, we had a falling out, and man, this motherfucker said one day he got involved. He kind of glommed on to the movement after months of me kind of like just talking to him and talking to friends and people kind of mocking me, you know, which is understandable, bro. We're at a bar. Not everybody wants to fucking talk about politics, right? And these issues. But this motherfucker now, man, is suddenly going to these protests, dressing up in all black, wearing his gloves and shit. And he, quote, said, "I was a looter, but now I'm a leader." Right? So
what?
So it's like, he,
I think I saw you tweet about this.
That classic transition we all know and love from looter to leader.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He said that about himself or about
you? No, he said it about himself. You know? And, yeah, dude. And it's just like, what are really your motivations and your intentions, right? Like, when I first started tweeting and shit, I like understand there's a balance between like clout, because everybody kind of wants to be like, have a platform and be recognized and appreciated, right? That's fine, you know. It gives people some sense of self-worth, especially I don't think it's particularly insidious if you are coming from a well-intentioned, altruistic place, right? Like, it's just natural for people to want to feel good about themselves. But it's also like, what the fuck are you really about? You know, like, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to throw down? And I think that in the black community, especially, it's an intergenerational conversation where young people are like, nah, fuck this shit. Like, we're going to burn this shit down, you know? And folks like my mom are kind of more like, all right, like, I want y'all to go out and protest, but, you know, don't burn down the fucking Wendy's, you know? So that's a whole different conversation that I think, like, kind of needs to be had, man, among black people. And, like, you know, what the fuck do we do? How do we kind of take control of this narrative? Like, because obviously, like, what's been going on with the media, this outside agitator white anarchist trope, I mean, it's just detrimental, right, to getting more people to join in.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that video of her with the lighter and the like, look at this white girl, let it be known. I saw video and whoever was taking it was like, this was some white girl.
Yeah, it was a black woman who posted shit up.
Yeah, but I never saw what you said, that it was his family.
Yeah, she was his girlfriend, and
I never saw that correction. Yeah. I had no idea until just now.
Yeah,
that's pretty incredible. It's like her fucking family. She's grieving. I mean, that's what happened. People are grieving in the streets. And
even more incredible to me, what was even more incredible about it was that people online were essentially spreading this around and basically doing the police's work for them. They were essentially like locating her and doxing her.
Jesus fuck.
Just to make some point about, white outsider anarchist. It's very bleak.
Well, the really doxing is happening a lot. And even also in Atlanta, wasn't the CNN building that got fucked up? That was Atlanta, too. And they doxed that kid, that guy. There was all these photographers getting paid for these pictures of him. And now his ass is in jail.
Shit. Was that the dude that was on the cop car they torched?
Yep.
Yeah,
at the CNN building.
I mean, that's another thing too. Like we don't talk enough about. Like, because I went to one of the protests one night and got arrested. Me and my girlfriend did. We got arrested, and we're sitting on. And I got shot with a rubber bullet. Actually, these motherfuckers. Like, and we're sitting on the fucking curb, man. And there were photographers. I'm not even sure if they had press passes, just taking pictures of like me. Like, there's a picture out there floating around of like me being handcuffed on the fucking curb. And the cops will seek retribution for that weeks later. Did y'all hear about this? I forgot what city it was, but this girl had set this cop car on fire, and she was, a picture was taken of her, and the cops were, I'll have to look this shit up. The cops were able to track her down because the shirt that she was wearing was on Etsy, and they were able.
Went to the Etsy store. Yeah, dude. Right?
Good old white liberalism, right? Like, you're really like fucking helping out, yo. Like, you're fucking helping people out, but
Someone already had the tab open on their computer, and they just flipped it over. Like, oh, I know that. Yeah.
I recognize that shirt. Actually, I might buy it.
They have like followed mothers home days after actions and arrested them in front of their children. Like, dragged them out of cars in front of their kids.
Yeah, I mean, y'all, it's really like, I mean, if we could talk, I mean, Terrence, do you have anything that you want to bring up before I like ask y'all a question and what you guys think about this whole kind of movement right now in tandem with Corona?
Not really. I think that, you know, like anybody else, like, I don't know much about what's going on in Atlanta, except other than what I hear in the sort of headlines. And so the timeline of it was all very fascinating. You know, this is in the midst of Kemp, you know, and I guess this is, what you're bringing up, like, in the midst of the reopening and everything, but Rashard Brooks gets shot. Then the police, the DA brings charges, right? Yeah. The two cops were fired.
Yeah, the two cops were fired, yeah.
And then...
the police chief also resigned.
And then I think... Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was that, too. And so... And the only thing that I had walked into this conversation really kind of eager to get your thoughts on was, the mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, just because she is sort of rising to the top of this sort of like, sort of like crop of new progressive Democratic leaders who aren't by any means socialist or anything. No. They're just your sort of like standard.
Or even progressive.
Issue or even progressive, right? But they get lauded as these kind of like progressive leaders, and it's pretty fascinating to me that just in such a short amount of time she's already being sort of shortlisted. I don't know if that's official or not. I don't know if the Biden campaign has officially listed her, but he's quoted in articles about her, you know, like sort of like praising her leadership and all that. So that's the only thing I just thought it was interesting that the cops, they did a walkout, and it wasn't they said themselves like this isn't a blue flu or a strike. Or anything.
That's the most interesting thing, right? Yeah. Them saying that it's not a strike because the connotation to labor, right? Like the cops, they can't fucking do that, right? Like cops have a union, but somehow their union is very different from other unions where they can kill a motherfucker and get away with it, right? It's to protect. Not just their interests, but their abuse of power, right? So I find that really interesting. That I'll put it this way: like black elite people, like Keisha Lance Bottoms and Stacey Abrams, black politics. I think I was talking to a friend about this yesterday. For some reason, in the American imagination, is always viewed as inherently progressive or to the left, right? And I think a lot of that is obviously like the legacy of the civil rights movement and like abolition and, you know, just the plight of black people and the struggle for black liberation. Right. But if you are in a position, it doesn't matter if you're black or if you're a woman or if you're gay, if you're trans, if you are entrenched in these like halls of power, it really doesn't matter about your personal connection with the history of exploitation and oppression, right? Like you're not like concerned with that because you want to protect and serve your own self-interest. And people like, you know, Keisha Lance Bottoms and Stacey Abrams especially, I don't think people realize that when you really dive into the record of these folks that they are not progressive, right? They're not progressive at all. Yeah. Like they shouldn't be leading shit, you know?
Yeah, man, Stacey Abrams is a straight up weirdo. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's something not right there. Man. It's like, what was it? What were we talking about, Terrence? Like, she, like, would write these, like, weird novels and stuff about, like, what was that?
Me? Was that me?
I think we were talking about, like, something, some kind of, like, I forget what it was, but she was writing some, like, novels of, like, that were, like, pretty.
Were they, like, romance novels or some shit?
Kind of, yeah, but like for like young adults almost or some shit. I forget what it was, but I remember hearing about that and being extremely disturbed by the tone of what.
Why do all these libs have weird fucking fetishes with like young adult fiction, man? Like, what the fuck is it about this perpetual childlike fantasy that they want to live in, yo? It's very endemic of their, like, political ideology.
You're right.
She has a pseudonym. Her name is Selena Montgomery. She writes romance novels under a pseudonym named Selena Montgomery. Holy shit, I never knew this. What the fuck?
Can you find me?
But also, like, it's just like, she's like, to me, Stacy kind of like, the thing that, like, sort of I got off the rails with her, y'all remember, like, back when she was running against Kemp or whatever, like, she was kind of, like, benefiting from, like, the Bernie apparatus and all that kind of stuff and raising all kinds of money. And then, like, she, like, switched up on the whole, like, I don't want to call it, you know, like, the progressive, like, AOC sphere, I would say. And then I started going to, like, the Bloomberg, like, fundraisers and all that shit with, like, Beto. It's like everybody, like, there's a subset of that movement that sort of defected. Beto was one of them. Connor Lamb in Pennsylvania. Stacy was one of them. And I don't know. It's just like there's just, like, this weird grifter thing to them that I just don't.
Well, they need something that is progressive facing to stave off a sort of insurgency. And so I think that that's the sort of like genesis of it.
This is why, like, you know, Kamala Harris would truly be the perfect VP for Biden, a man who helped craft, like, you know, the expansion, the legislation for the expansion of the police state and mass incarceration with the fucking arch segregationist, Strom Thurmond, right? Like, it would be fitting that, like, someone from the black community who has exploited, systematically speaking, exploited black people through, like, the judicial system, it's only fitting that she would be VP at this moment of, like, protests against police brutality, right? It's almost like this weird, ironic, perfect circle.
Yeah, totally.
That's just, like, peak liberalism, right? It's like they all want to, like, find that common ground with the cops or whatever. Anything to have to cede ground to, like, the abolitionists or whatever. Did y'all see the thing Kamala said about, like, smoking weed, and then her dad, like, just straight up, like, rebuked it and said, like, yeah, like, it was like, yeah, like, my Jamaican grandparents would, like, roll over in their grave or something. Like, there was some sort
can
of,
I,
like...
Can I read that for y'all real quick? Because that is, like, I tweeted it.
That shit was good.
I tweeted about that shit the other day, man. And mind you, her father's a fucking Marxist, like, professor, right?
Yeah.
So I thought this shit was, like... Also, my parents are from Jamaica, so I thought this was fucking poetry, man. He said, so look, you know, this dude says, my dear departed grandmother, whose extraordinary legacy I described in a recent essay on this website, as well as my deceased parents, must be turning in their grave right now to see their family's name, reputation, and proud Jamaican identity being connected in any way, jokingly or not, with the fraudulent stereotype of a pot-smoking joy-seeker and in the pursuit of identity politics. Speaking for myself and my immediate Jamaican family, we wish to categorically disassociate ourselves from this travesty.
Truly.
From her own fucking dad, yo.
That sucks.
That is terrible. How do you even come back from that?
Well, but she is, I mean, and just to put even a finer point on it, Aaron, it's like, even all that aside, like, she literally, just this week, did y'all see that thing of her going on?
Oh, my God, man.
So
she is, like, running for president again, right? That's what's happening? She's running for VP?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know she had been on TV. God, what happened?
It was very bizarre, but Colbert was essentially like, well, you know, you called Biden out, like, on his sort of racist remarks and legacy, and she's like, it was a debate, Stephen. A debate. She must have said debate at least 20 times. It was a debate. That's all she said. Yeah, it's a debate. And Colbert was like, yeah, but, like, you know, but, I mean, it seemed like you meant it. She was like, it was a debate.
It's French for I don't believe in a goddamn
thing. Even before that Colbert thing, like, immediately after, like, the morning after the debate, dude, shirts went up on her store website that said I was that little girl.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, dude.
You're right.
It was like she had that, and this is the most insidious thing about Kamala, right? And she, as a prosecutor, she's very talented at theatrics, right? Like, she has these one-liners and zingers, and the fact that she would exploit Biden's anti-busing, you know, desegregation policies to sell a fucking shirt and, like, and sense people enough to say, oh, yeah, she truly is the progressive, right? She actually is the progressive when she is just carrying out, you know, the framework that Biden has created, you know, helped create over the past 30 years, right? It's insulting, man. I have to keep using that word. I don't know. I could use a lot of other words, but it truly is, like, hurtful, right? Like, I don't really couldn't expect better. Like, I understand the dynamics, but how could you do that to your own people? You know, I don't understand it. I really don't.
Yeah.
Well, that's so it looks like Harris and Bottoms and there's a few other names I've
heard. Whitmore, Gretchen Whitmore, but she's like she's the governor of what state is that?
Isn't there like a cop woman from
there is
Florida or something?
Oh, there's another cop person from Florida.
Yeah.
Yo, man, really trying to get that cop constituency vote, man.
He was like, I want her black, I want her a cop, I want her this. He like gave a list.
What
I want her
like,
from the
south.
I want her under 200 pounds. I want her with a writing background. Can she write a young adult novel?
Yeah. That's pretty bleak.
Man, it's quite bleak, man. But I mean, what I try to remember is that this is truly I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. And I mean, I'm only 29, right? But I just haven't seen anything in my lifetime where people, like, I'll drive down the street and, I mean, you could talk about performative. That's another thing I want to talk to y'all about, too. Like, kind of this, the performative nature of this movement and this idea of, like, woke capitalism, which I kind of have a lot of beef with, just the as a term in itself. And it is heartening, though, to see so much support, like, for the movement. Like, people have their lawn signs out. People are, like, just not just going to protest, but on the street corners, right? And, like, especially in East Atlanta Village, there's always a group on the street corner just kind of holding up signs, and people will repeatedly drive past and honk and, you know, in solidarity. So that's like heartening that as long as we bring more people in, I mean, that's really the only place that we could start right now, you know? But if y'all allow me, I mean, there's this argument now about, like, this term woke capitalism and people rightfully getting upset about BLM ad campaigns. Like, I know Netflix, for example, has a whole Black Lives Matter category. But it just kind of bothers me because
that they had the help. Yeah.
They,
the Black Lives
Matter. They didn't have Django though. I ain't see Django in that shit. I'm just saying. But, it's like, yo, is it, I want y'all's opinion on this, man. Isn't woke capitalism kind of an oxymoron? Because capitalism's vampire-like nature is to subsume markets outside of itself and to use social movements to sell shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Edward Bernays, Freud's nephew, for example, used the feminist movement to sell cigarettes to women.
Yeah.
The thing about,
SpaghettiOs is antique.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, or Aunt Jemima, right? You know, we see, we hear you. Aunt Jemima's canceled. Like, nah, dude. Like, but it's also like it. I think that in America, like, especially in the South, man, when we talk about race, we have to talk about race and class together, right? Like, I mean, they're just dialectical in nature. And when you talk about woke capitalism, kind of denounce wokeness, and I get it, yo. Like, I get it. People can be kind of sensitive and annoying. I got a shitty sense of humor, but it seems to me to erase, like, blackness as a unique identity in independent of class, but also in this relationship with it. And it really does, like, it kind of fucks with me. You know what I mean? Because who am I to judge how somebody comes into the movement, whether it was like a fucking Pepsi campaign? No, fuck Pepsi for doing that. But to kind of criticize people for like wokeness at this time, when I do know a lot of people who are just being brought into the fold sincerely, it's I don't know if it's helpful.
I mean, capitalism is always going to use our language to sell us shit. Exactly. Yeah. Like that's not new. They've been doing that. You know, this fucking the Pride Parade for the last 10 years has been a fucking corporate sponsored. There's a fucking Pride Walgreens float, you know. Pride started as a fucking
riot. Rainbow bomb from Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, just fucking crazy shit. But it is bizarre, and it's just like I have been thinking a lot lately about how Black Lives Matter, those words were so like powerful and so, you know, so insane to people 5 years ago. And now it's something they can like sing and dance on social media and get a lot of attention for, but it's like, they're pretty meaningless words. Like those are empty words. They're not a demand. They're not a, you know what I mean? What is this?
No, I agree. I mean, I would rather, you know, BLM, like Black Liberation Movement, you know what I'm saying? Did y'all see that video with all these celebrities? Fucking the black and white video with them saying I take some responsibility. Have y'all done an episode on that recently? Or have y'all talked about that? Shit.
Hey, we still got some time here. Let's get into it.
Man, I take responsibility. Dude, it's like I just want people to feel bad. Like I don't think that a friend and I, like, again, this is the same friend that that I was talking to about this whole idea of kind of woke capitalism and everything that's been going on. And we had an interesting conversation where I want people to feel bad, especially after 2016, because people are angry, but no one is truly, like, disappointed and maybe thinking about what they didn't do themselves. I'm not talking about canvassing for fucking Hillary. I'm not talking about that bullshit. Like, what they didn't do in their own communities and paying attention to issues, right? And it's to say I take responsibility does not mean like I truly feel bad about this, you know? It's, it's performative. And if you really gave a fuck in that Hollywood industry, you would not only have, you know, if you have fucking tons of money, give to bail funds and whatnot, but you would just highlight black voices and creators and black narratives in fucking film, right? Instead of making a fucking video about it, you know?
Yeah.
Just do this self-flagellation.
Self-flagellation.
Yeah, in this, like, woke capitalism the last few weeks, have any companies fired their white CEO? Just, like, cut their heads off? Has that happened anywhere? I haven't heard it. They are, like, white actors who have been voicing black characters for fucking decades are like, yeah, okay, maybe that was long enough. All right, I'm going to step down. I'm going to go count my money in the corner.
Yeah, the Simpsons did that. Like, they didn't already get 30 years out of that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, Simpsons is going to go off there any day now. And they're like, okay, now we're going
to
do it.
Probably time to retire any fucking way.
yeah, best we get is Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad, so he doesn't laugh at black jokes anymore.
You know what, motherfucker? I will still laugh at black jokes, right? But we're talking about changing material circumstances, yo. Like right. none of these performative gestures. I think in Atlanta, yo, I forgot what street I was driving down. A couple of cities have done this. But I was in Atlanta driving down the street, and there is a Black Lives Matter, like spray painted, painted, like on the street. You know what I mean? And I'm sure, like, you know, from an aerial view, it's like, it's beautiful, but like, what does that really fucking mean? You know, like, they, like Tanya, as you said, they are just words that are floating signifiers that don't really have any commitment to action attached to them.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Sorry. No, you go ahead.
All I was going to say was, just a few weeks ago, there's a video of Mitt Romney walking through the streets of D.C. with the Black Lives Matter shirt on. So, I mean, that kind of gives away the ballgame.
Well, it's something I've noticed too, and we were talking about a little bit on the show last week, is that, like, you know, like, we had this bit about doing incrementalism right, and, like, all the reactionaries are doing incrementalism right, because right 215, like, right out of, like, Baltimore and Ferguson and all that, like, our local police who our police chief is a black guy. And, like, they're all saying, like, Black Lives Matter is a domestic terrorist group, da-da-da-da-da, all this kind of thing. And then 5 years later, they're like, okay, Black Lives do matter.
They do.
But there's all, you know, it's like, they'll say Black Lives Matter, but with the qualifiers. And then it's like, but all lives matter, too, or some kind, you know, it'll be looking it with that shit.
Or it's like, quickly, too, but we can't be looting, and property damage is, like, ruining our country. It's just like, this is fucking stuff.
Yeah.
Not only, and there's been a local, I don't know if y'all saw this, but locally, there's, like, this big Facebook group has started to organize a Blue Lives Matter rally in Pikeville. They're going to have a Blue Lives rally.
Hell yeah.
And it's like, not only do blue lives not matter, they don't exist. This is insanity.
Being a cop is not a fucking identity, bro. It's a profession.
This is
so
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's my neighbor down the hill for the longest time had a Confederate flag in his window, in his top window, and he took it down. And I wonder if
wait, old boy, that's the pharmacist?
No.
Or Mark.
I don't want to dox him, but he.
Okay, let's take that out there. My
he runs an inflatable toy business. Or whatever.
Oh,
gotcha.
Okay.
He's yeah. not. He's always been a pretty nice guy, but I've always been like, well, that guy's racist. But he took down the Confederate flag, and it made me wonder, like, because I've thought a lot about this. Like, what is it about this that they're finally being like, all right, well, maybe we got a little too out of hand with that thing. Maybe
we took that too far. It's NASCAR, man. NASCAR was the last frontier of the Confederate flag. It will be no longer because NASCAR
nicked it. If Richard Petty says it's over, it's over.
It's over.
My theory on this is that they've all known it for a long time. I mean, of course they have. Because this is America. But what it is, I think, is that it's COVID. I think that it's like things are so precarious and uncertain that they, in their minds, they're like, oh, shit, like things could boil over on any front.
We and might need each other, actually.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow, that had not occurred to me at all, actually. Yeah. I had not thought about COVID being a uniting force in any way because I live among so many people who won't even wear a mask. And they're just like, this is a fucking government conspiracy.
Well, I mean, but if you look, it's like older people with like pre-existing conditions. Even like the most conservative like assholes, if they're like older with like emphysema, they're wearing a mask and shit. And they're like, yeah. My brother-in-law works in the coal mines and he's like diehard mask guy, but you would not think that from his like Facebook aesthetics, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and it might even be more than just the virus itself. It might be the social sort of unrest. I mean you would have to be living under a rock to not notice that the social fabric of this country is just being stretched to its absolute breaking point. And so it makes me wonder if some of them are like, all right, it's finally time to put away the racism for a little
bit. I know this thing. The South would have won. We'd have had it made. But maybe not.
Hang it up in the closet.
I don't know.
It.
That's just...
So if you know you need to bring it back out within another couple of
years. You need to bring it back.
You know, put some mothballs on that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like
some mothballs.
Yeah. On your stars and bars, put some mothballs.
No, it's like, man, it's... I think that... Like, it cannot be underestimated the connection between the pandemic and this movement where, one, just functionally speaking, people who are not, you know, not going to work have – and I want to be clear about this, too. The process that I've been to, at least, people are, as much as possible, practicing social distancing, wearing masks, right? Handing out, you know, hand sanitizer and all of that, right?
People are taking, like, so visibly taking care of each other. Like, someone overheated at a big rally I was at, and just immediately, like, in a second, everyone knew that this was the water sign. And everyone just did this, like, wrist lock to like, above their heads to just, like, flood it over to the people with the water. And this there was, like, immediately water on this girl. And I was just like, we just really know how to take care of each other.
Whereas,
I was so moved.
Whereas these fucking assholes, like, that were clamoring, you know, to go back to work and shit and to get haircuts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's not only that people have more time to go out there and organize, but everyone realizes the precarity of their situation, right? Like y'all were saying. And people understand that, yo, the government doesn't give a fuck about anybody, and maybe we really do all need each other. So I think that it's not, there's no coincidence that the triple crisis of the pandemic and the economy and free fall and this movement have all come about at this point. It's really like a fever pitch, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. Yeah, you're right. So earlier you brought something up, Aaron, that I thought was kind of interesting, and I guess we could go anywhere at this moment. Tom, did you have something you wanted to?
Well, I was going to circle back around to, like, because something I wanted to talk about is, like, you know, and you know, I don't know if this is like the best place to like interject back in there. I guess I should have brought it up a little bit earlier, but I want to talk about this idea of, like, Atlanta's always sort of been looked at as like this, like, black business
city,
capital,
city,
right? Like,
the
there's
city,
like
city,
a,
city.
As far as like cities, yeah, there's like a disproportionate amount of black wealth there compared to other places, even in the South. And, like, sort of in recent years, like, guys like Killer Mike and Tip and all these guys have sort of become, like, you know, the face of that. You know,
Driller
Mike,
not Killer Mike. Driller Mike. That's what I call it. y'all know about that, right?
No. Is he doing, like, a RuPaul thing? Is he drilling for
I should have brought this. Let me bring this shit up real quick, man. Because, Tom, can you go ahead and continue and let me bring this shit up real quick?
Yeah. So I was just, what I wanted to talk about a little bit is like how that, like, you know, and obviously I love Killer Mike's music, I love Tip's music, but like how those guys have sort of been like, almost kind of the thing, like we said with like Stacey Abrams, and like you were talking about how, like, if black female politicians come on the scene, they're almost automatically assumed to be more left than they actually might be. And it's kind of the same thing with Killer Mike, how he's gotten such purchase in like the left politics community, and like he's like, you know, by his own admission, an avowed capitalist and all these things, you know. And to be fair, he doesn't have the worst politics, but I want to just talk about that.
I mean, like, I thought it was interesting that so the Driller Mike thing, which some people might say it's not as bad as it sounds, but there was ground broken to make a tunnel to bolster the city's water supply, but it's like a public-private partnership with this private company, and the drill was christened Driller Mike after Driller Mike himself. So I don't know if he was at the groundbreaking. I'm not sure, but I think that kind of circles back to this dude owns businesses in Atlanta, right? Like, at the end of the day, he's a capitalist, right? So any threat on private property, I think, would, even if it's subconsciously, right? Because there's the excuse where it's like, well, I don't want people to break shit, right? Because we can't get everybody on board if everyone is like looting shit and setting shit on fire. But it's like, nah, dude, you just have things at stake if we lived in a society where private property didn't fucking exist.
Let's just like be honest and candid about it for a second. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's just like, you know, it's like we talk about all the time how like police are the last public service that like the business class rich people still use, right? At the cost of everything else. Everything else has been gutted out, but police keep getting pumped into because like the affluent need them for loss prevention. Essentially. Yeah, but just how I'm saying is just like, you know, be honest, you got some skin in the game. And be honest, like, there is a disparity between, like, what you're rapping about on Run the Jewels 4 and, like, what you're actually, you know, getting in front of the TV cameras and, like, weeping about.
Clout. It's like what I was saying earlier, man. It's for the clout. You know, I think that I think that Killer Mike does have good politics, right? Like, when he was a surrogate for Bernie, I actually met him. Shit, man. I wonder if he's going to hear this shit. Anyway, I met him. I fucking met him. He won't remember me, though. Fuck it. But I met him once at a Bernie rally at the Fox Theater a couple years ago in 2016. And, you know, I talked to him a little bit. He's a cool dude, and he definitely has the right perspective, obviously. Like, we're oriented towards the same short-term goal.
Right, yeah, totally. He's a brilliant guy. There's no doubt.
But at the end of the day, it's like you really got to be suspicious of especially like black folk, right? I try to tell people that we don't want more black CEOs, right? Like, I'm not asking for that. And we got to really be mindful of people like him and sort of just be real about it. Like you said, Tom, be candid. It's like, dude, you got skin in the game. I get it. Like, I'm still going to burn down this fucking Wendy's, though. But But I get it. No, no. But you know, I get it, dude. I get it. But yeah, I don't know if those are the people who should be that we should be highlighting. Of course, the media highlights them, right? Because the media wants Black folk to speak out against you know, the elements of the protest that they don't like, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And more importantly, they have to be, you know, sort of elite.
Yeah. Respectable people.
You know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's, man. It's disappointing, man. It's super disappointing.
It's tough for me, too, man. Because, like, if I think about who my heroes growing up were, it was like Master P. You know what I mean? Yeah. Birdman. Like, all those, you know, I grew up reading The Source and shit. Like, like, I want those guys to be the better angels of our nature, but, like, the more I advance, I'm like, God.
Like, damn, man, dude, like, I might be able to listen to music. Your politics, though, I'm not sure about that, right?
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Well, I mean, I guess that means that it sort of, like, re-emphasizes how important the class issue is to
it.
Yes,
yes.
And, you know, and I think we've come back to this a lot, but, and this is probably something that people say a lot. I don't know if people, I don't know how widely read Stuart Hall is in the streets at the moment, but he's got the, you know, that amazing quote that says, like, you know, race is the lived modality of class. And I think that, like, when it, like, that kind of becomes through in this, in these sort of instances in which they, you know, like, you have the sort of, like, I don't know, rich, more affluent Black community in Atlanta. But at the end of the day, they're doing the same thing as any other capitalist. They're trying to steal your time.
Exactly.
They are trying to steal the time out of your life. And so, yeah, that again, that sort of reemphasizes what's really at stake here, is that we're all trying to get back. We're some level of autonomy over our lives. And so we're not mortgaging it off to anybody else.
Well, yeah, it's about just addressing material circumstances. You know, all of these slogans at the end of the day, like, they don't mean shit if, like, you know, motherfuckers can't sleep in their car without getting harassed and then shot by the cops. You know, it's
And that people are having to sleep in their fucking cars.
And the fact that people are sleeping in their fucking cars, right? The fact that, I mean, especially in Atlanta when, you look at gentrification, like what's been happening over the past, like, since I've been living here, it seems like it's intensified because of what's called the Atlanta Beltline. It's pretty much this trail that circles the perimeter of the city, and it's just like biking, and there are restaurants and businesses along it, and they were supposed to include some percentage of affordable housing. But I mean, it's what happens in every city, right? It's pushing out Black people. It's reimagining the neighborhood to a certain, like, liberal, like, aesthetic, you know, that people feel comfortable, like.
They call it mixed income.
Yeah, which is like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly. The mixed income.
Or affordability.
Like, housing.
Or, like, affordability, right? Like, what is affordable? Yeah. How do we define that shit?
Yeah, totally. I mean, going back to what y'all were talking about earlier, that about COVID and just like current conditions uniting people, is it's bound to be the just economic reality that so many people are struggling so bad. I mean, I guess this is, there is a case to be made about this being a perfect storm of just like material needs not being met for so fucking long, and then people seeing who the real essential workers actually are, and they're being paid nothing. And
oh wait, can I bring something back? Did you just mention that about essential workers that I thought was crazy? We were talking about the walkouts, right? Yo, apparently it is illegal for cops to walk off the job because they are essential state employees. You know what I mean?
I was going to mention that. It is, and this is the hard thing about cops as laborers, because at the end of the day, they're employees of a public governance structure. And so it's cops and other first responders. You're exactly right, Aaron. It's illegal for them to walk off the job, to strike, essentially.
Well, that's why they call it a strike, I guess, too, right? I guess that's a double function of not calling it a strike, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, right. And so this is the thing, because whenever you dig into, like, the statements that these cops release, it's always pretty much 99% of the time sort of steeped in the language of pro labor. And so what they're saying is that, like, you know, they'll sort of be like, you know, we're paid by the city government to do this, and, you know, if our labor isn't going to be honored, then we're going to withhold it and all this. You know, they use the exact same sort of language and rhetoric. And so it's very tricky to, like, be a socialist, push for, you know, unionization and for the organized labor workforce, but to walk that fine line. I mean, I guess this is the thing. Like, you just, it's not that hard. I mean, because cops really aren't workers. They are
special bodies of armed men. Is what they got, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
I mean, it's also just like, you know, like, when I got arrested, this cop, I was sitting on the curb. This white cop asked me and my partner, like, didn't y'all know about the curfew? And I was just like, bro, what? I don't even know why I tried wasting my fucking time, but I was, like, so angry. And for a minute, there are times where you try to look at somebody as another human being and actually try to see what's there behind those eyes and try to just throw something out there, right? And I was like, dude, you don't even understand the function of your profession, right? That it's descended from slave patrols and, you know, union busting. Like, you don't understand that the function of your job is to protect and serve a racial, social, like hierarchy. Right. Like, it's not even about, like, individual. Like, when we say ACAB, right, it's not about it's not about individualism. Right. Like, no one is. I mean, and we could single out many fucking cops. Right. But it's a systemic issue. So this idea that, like, cops should be equated to other labor unions because they are laborers. It's like, nah, dude, like they experience privileges that most union members do not. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people have, you know. A lot of people have pointed this out recently, but, like, any of the things that they are found to do on a daily basis would get you fired immediately from any other job.
If you worked at a fucking McDonald's and so much has burned a fry, your fucking manager would be, like, you know, breathing over your shoulder. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of gives away the ball game. It's just, like, we're dealing with something that's not... Yeah, they're not on the same footing as everyone else.
What did this cop say to you when that you popped off?
Oh, dude.
That was your answer to, did you even know there was
some... I didn't even... Like, the minute I started speaking and I could see his... It wasn't his eyes glazing over, but it was definitely, like, sort of like, I'm just going to stop listening, right? Like I'm just annoyed. And he didn't say anything, dude. He didn't have anything to say, right? He just kind of, like, nodded and... acknowledge, like, with the head nod, but what can he say? You know, he can't say anything.
Right.
They fucking know. They all fucking know.
Well, yeah.
I just can't imagine being a grown-ass person talking to another grown-ass person about a curfew.
Really?
Like, how you gonna... You got me in fucking shackles right now over a fucking curfew? I'm a grown-ass motherfucker that you're expecting to be out here working
my taxes,
and
my
creating wealth.
For you to enforce the fucking curfew, motherfucker.
Literally, it's insanity.
Yeah, it's such a weird realization when you think that. It's just like a taxpayer-funded, like, paramilitary arm that we just pay to harass us. That's all it is. It's just ridiculous.
Yet we sound crazy when we say defund police. Like, that sounds crazy. We sound like nuts. And we're told...
we're really the boss. I mean, ideally, we should, like, be their bosses,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, so. Dude. We should abolish that. I mean, and that's another discussion, too. It's like the defund police versus abolish and what terminology people have decided to use. And, like defund, but... Even the fact that people are, like, defunding the police means, like, no, you don't get fucking pensions. You don't get bonuses. You guys do not get more military toys to play around with and kill black people. And it's really a tricky slope where it's, like, reform for reform's sake, you know? Like, isn't the goal to effectively abolish, like, what the police as an institution are? Right? So, I don't know. It's we're just in the beginning stages of it, so I don't fucking know, y'all. What the fuck do I know?
What was so strange to me, I think, is that, like the reforms, like the suggested reforms that have come out of these demonstrations are, like, even weaker than what came out of, like, Ferguson and Baltimore and all that shit.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
when the eight things popped up and all that stuff, it's like, Most of these are already shit that's on the books, but two, this is like way more watered down than what even came out of Baltimore.
And on top of that, too, did y'all see fucking Trump's latest executive order where he, this is fucking insane, man. He explicitly, they explicitly state that left-wing extremists and anarchists who subscribe to Marxism want to see, like, if I could just read this shit. Many of the rioters, arsonists, and left-wing extremists who have carried out and supported these acts have explicitly identified themselves with ideologies such as Marxism that call for the destruction of the United States system of government. So, I mean, we're getting shit even done even less now, especially.
They're on to us.
Yeah, especially with somebody like fucking Trump in office, right?
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the executive order,
So
though?
The executive order is, I think, I mean, honestly, it seems more to be, like, propaganda. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're all terrorists, honey. We are all terrorists. We're all going to jail. We're going to Guantanamo. You're going to Guantanamo. One of the functions of it, too, is to have federal protection of Confederate monuments, which is, like, insane. You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck, dude?
What? Will you say that again? I don't understand.
Listen, for this, like, never-ending caravan of fucking liberals that are like, oh, we don't need to, nobody needs to read Marx anymore. We've moved past that and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you see this, like, shit. Like the fucking John Krasinski CIA-ization of the fucking, like, Twitter intelligentsia. And it's like, when Donald fucking Trump is calling out Marxists by name, that should give you a good indication. That's probably where you need to be if you have any interest in an emancipatory program of any kind.
Yeah. How did this connect to monuments?
So the one sentence reads, key targets in the violent extremist campaign against our country are public monuments, memorials, and statues. No. Their selection of targets reveals a deep ignorance of our history. Yo, they know exactly what they're doing. Like, that sentence, that a deep ignorance of our history is, like, beyond irony, right? And
And
is indicative of a desire to indiscriminately destroy anything that honors our past and to erase from the public mind any suggestion that our past may be worth honoring, cherishing, remembering, understanding. Yeah.
I tell you what, there's no way he wrote that.
Oh, fuck no. Stephen Miller did.
Well, absolutely.
There's got to be some sort of, like dog whistle with the phrase public mind, because a friend, Terrence's former neighbor hit me up one time and was another like, man, call. I got this book you need to check out. It's called A Disease of the Public Mind. And it's kind of one of those things from like one of those like sort of right wing, like pseudo historian dudes that's like just telling like weird stories about like why the Confederacy was actually about, you know, like the states' rights, that kind of shit. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's just funny that like, that book was called A Disease of the Public Mind, and then he references the public mind, and I think probably what he's talking about is, like, society, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's got to
be. And what they think about the world.
That's a dog whistle for sure. It's got to be.
Yeah.
That's fucking incredible.
That's incredible, man. That is
Terrence made us promise to kill him before we go to jail, so we get to that. We have that to look forward to. If we're going to
crossing
jail,
my fingers.
We get to kill Terrence first.
Terrence ain't doing a day in Guantanamo.
No, not a day.
I'm a little bit. I'm 145 soaking wet. I don't think I would do well under Guantanamo like conditions.
I ain't none of us built for Guantanamo. I tell you that shit.
Oh, right, no, all this dough ain't gonna help neither.
Well, I was. You know, on the same sort of thread as a second ago, as you pointed out, Tom, like the sort of reforms that are being proposed are even weaker than 5 years ago.
The rhetoric is like going forward, but like the actual like reforms are like regressing. It's
kind of interesting how it works like that. Huh?
Yeah.
So, but this was these were Mayor Bottoms.
Mayor Bottoms, I cannot help it.
Mayor Bottoms could be such a great name. Like, could be such a great. You could do all kinds of great things with under Mayor Bottoms.
Giving me ideas for content. No.
Yeah. There definitely needs to be some fan fiction porn about Mayor Bottoms.
But this Mayor Bottoms is not our utopian socialist fantasy. This is Fash Mayor Bottoms. She announced a series of executive orders after Rayshard Brooks was shot. And this is what they are. New guidelines on use of force, training officers in de-escalation techniques, and requiring officers who witness excessive or unlawful use of force to attempt to stop it and report it.
What? How are we going to enforce any of this? Who's going to enforce this?
Exactly. Well, another thing I wanted to ask you about, Aaron, before we let you go was... wasn't it just this week? Like, it looked like several council members in Atlanta tried to withhold $73 million in funding from the police department. But I guess it failed?
I haven't heard anything about that, actually. What?
Yeah, I guess it was they attempted to do it in the city council, but it failed. But it's interesting. There's city council members who I guess can be pushed anyways.
Yeah, they're in Atlanta. I will say that there are... I mean, I've been to city council meetings where there are members who I do feel like have a genuine connection with their communities and really do try to hear their constituents out. But I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about, like, especially with gentrification, we're talking about there's no way they're gonna defund the police when development is so integral to, like, making this city sort of like the New York of the South. Like, I don't really know how else to describe it. Like, they need police to enforce, you know, this aesthetic, you know, they need police to enforce, not having people, you know, black people, especially walking out on the Beltline late at night, just like taking a jog or something like that. Right. They need a clean up neighborhood. So yeah, I don't really have any hope for that shit happening unless, some more, drastic measures are taken, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Well, I do dispute one thing in what you just said. Whitesburg, Kentucky is the New York of the South.
never heard of it.
The working man's, the poor man's New York.
Yeah.
As it's known as. Well, Aaron, thanks so much for stopping by this weekend, man. This is really fun. This is a really good talk, and it's I figured this was, you know, so much going on in Atlanta. This is, you know, supposed to be our beat. So we'd go right to the source and see what's going on, and you didn't disappoint. So we appreciate
it, man. Thanks, y'all. This is like I'm hoping to, you know, be doing more podcasting and a little bit more writing. So this is like the second time I've done this. I'm like sweating right now. I'm drenched in a perpetual
cold. Oh my God.
Dying to smoke a cigarette. But you guys, like, I've actually listened to you guys and love you guys, like I said in the beginning. And I feel like when I listen to y'all, I am actually having a conversation with friends, and it becomes a lot less intimidating, you know, because I don't know shit, man. Yeah. The more I know, the more I don't fucking know.
Clearly, yeah, same. We feel the same
way. So, yeah, thank y'all for having me on. Like, I really, truly appreciate it.
I hope that while Blue Flu is happening or whatever, you can loot some shit.
Yeah, yo, I'm trying to go to the coffee store and grab me some shit, so we'll see what happens.
Hell yeah, baby. Well, stay safe out there, man. And we
all right, y'all stay safe, too, and thanks again.
Thanks, Aaron.
Bye.